The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by everybody who supports patreon.com/JURY. Head on over there right now, and you can support not only this show, but the Politics, Politics, Politics stream. You get extra stuff if you support at the $3 a week level, and you get bonus stuff at any level, including our three-hour Friday Hype Train stream, which this week might feature my co-host on this edition of Jury. Also by Justin Robert Young, which is me, but also by actionnewsgame.com. That is where my new Kickstarter lives. You can back Action News Game right now. Thank you to everybody who's done it. We just unlocked the Beatles card. We now have more in store for you. So actionnewsgame.com. Go ahead and back the Kickstarter. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing? Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young program. My name is Justin Robert Young. Normally, this is a one-mic program, and I would consider this to still be a one-mic program, despite the fact that we're going to have two mics, because the man that is going to join me is really the other side of my brain, my partner in crime on Night Attack, and really in life, I would say. Brian Brushwood, go ahead. How you doing?
If it helps keep you on brand, we could just share a mic. We could be like a pair of twins, arms around each other, leaning in one at a time.
No, I like to think of us back to back, like Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora.
Oh, yeah, looking over the shoulder.
Singing into the same
that's
mic.
That's another point that's interesting.
Yeah, it'd just be us. Come jokes.
Come jokes. My dog's name is Jokes. Where are you, Jokes? Come jokes.
Why would you go to a dog?
Oh, come like a...
Yeah. All right, never mind.
Look, man, I have a whole backstory written
for this. You had
it right.
You had it right. I had it wrong. We're going to move on. Okay. So,
Now I want to walk out the front door and just start shouting, come jokes. Come jokes. Jokes. Come jokes. And see how long.
Has anybody ever named their dog Jokes? Email us, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. I swear to God, the first person that hits us up on Twitter and just says, here's the new puppy we got for the girls. Its name is Jokes. I will. They will be our new best friend. All right. So I'm here in Austin, Texas, and I'm doing press for Action News for the rest of the week. So I'm not going to beat the living shit out of it right now. But Brian is here, and this is weird. You've been a semi-regular guest because you were on two episodes ago live from Nerdtacular.
I'll tell you what, man. It's weird. I don't know that I expected it to be any other way. But like when we first met on the internet. there's that.
I just expect Jomo to just walk in with a guitar.
Talented ain't the half. Look at you. There's that white hot intensity, but also somebody who gets, you know, our mutual horseshit. But also there's part of me that craved the easy familiarity that you picture when you think of the Rat Pack or any of that stuff, or the friendship between Conan and what's his name?
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter, yeah. And I'll be damned if, like, it wasn't an act. It wasn't an affectation to just be enjoying your solo show and feeling natural moments to inject a little bit of extra chaos.
To jump in, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that was a really, really big thing. And like anything else, and you have been through this a couple times between television shows and big internet projects and Halloween Horror Nights and everything. Whenever you've got something really big on your schedule, if you've done it a couple times, what you find is not only does the prep always get longer and longer because now you know more and more about what you are facing.
Well, and you know the disasters and pitfalls that are going to come up.
Like
the first
happen.
Time, you're blissfully ignorant. Sure. You're like, I don't know, I'll show up with my act and I'll perform it at Halloween Horror Nights. It'll be great.
It's just all baby's day out. You're like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, right?
But also what happens, and this is something that I think I really learned from you, is the next level is you need to prepare for what happens after it's done.
Yes.
Because you can't Viking yourself up into this blood rage and then not expect there to be a massive crash.
Now, are you talking about emotionally or are you talking about structurally as far as the content? Because structurally, that's exactly what happened doing Penn and Teller's Fool Us. It occurred to me, oh, wait, nobody writes the second half of their act. They do their act and they think it's over and then they just wing it in improv. And that's why so often it's stilted and bizarre.
Well,
whereas, but also emotionally,
yeah.
you know, writing in the crash and the denouement afterwards.
Well, I think, you know, part of it is definitely just more the emotional level of like when you went out to LA to shoot Hacking the System.
Yeah.
Right. That was something that I know took a tremendous amount of preparation because like many situations that people find themselves in reality television, when you get sold as a personality that knows things, not only do you immediately become the star of the show, but you are now responsible for writing the show because you're the guy who knows things.
Well, and plus also, oftentimes there would be very carefully fact-checked sentences that they knew were approved. And of course, nobody... You know, boots on the ground, somebody hands you a script, and you look at like, this is factually wrong. Can I not say this? This person thinks, well, this is what I was handed. I don't have the authority to tell you to change the script right here on the fly. You know, it's like, no, say this. And so what ends up happening is like, okay, we're going to do it once, exactly as written. We're going to do it again with me speaking off the cuff and sticking to what I know.
Yeah.
And then, and almost always, it's the second of the two.
And you kind of get chewed up and spit out of this process of... Pre-prep, writing notes, back and forth, yada, yada, yada. Then the totally different rinse and repeat of get out on set, deal with the elements, deal with the crew, deal with things either working or not working, or when you see it on camera and not being what it was in your head. And then just the physical element of that. And then it's over.
Yeah,
you know, because you're that famous picture of Mitt Romney at the gas station the night.
Yes, like that's quite literally when I came back from Los Angeles the first time I did the Tonight Show. I was like, man, I was on the Tonight Show, and Bonnie was like, that's great. Can you pick up the dog crap? You know, and it's like, and here I am.
And obviously, you always want to be ambitious. You always want to keep going. You want to make things bigger, better, faster, stronger. But that means that drop off only keeps getting steeper and steeper unless you start preparing for it. And that to me is really what that jury show was, hey, let me think past the Kickstarter. Let me do something during the Kickstarter or at the very beginning of it that could kind of give me the glimmer of like, all right, here's the next thing that I want to focus on because I want to do more kind of onstage comedy stuff. And that was the kind of idea for it. But it was really almost more of a defense mechanism than it was a creative endeavor.
It seemed like a safe space. You unlock these tools socially and one-on-one. You learn to navigate parties. You learn how to get on stage and tell a few jokes or whatever, right? You build up material. And in that skill set that you've built up, you know that there's safety in the Brody Quest, don't get Brody'd format, where it's like,
sure,
it's impossible to go wrong. You're just picking up rocks and building a faux sandcastle for everyone to watch, and you know you're going to be okay. So I would imagine after all of the stress and all the uncharted territory of launching this other Kickstarter, you know, setting the expectations, I would imagine that it's like that's your ecstasy, taking off your clothes, running around naked up and down the hill moment.
Sure, yeah. I mean, in part, it's like, what can I do that I know I cannot prepare for?
And that, you know, that's built into the story. Like, yeah, your job is to be unprepared for what you're
exactly
about to read.
Because this has to be, and there was more preparation than there, you know. The goal is to make it seem as random as possible.
Yeah,
while,
you had like a dozen stories ready to go. We sort of just jumped. We only got through
four,
like three.
I had four. We did three.
Okay. Okay.
I had more that came in, but four were the ones that I knew were going to be there, depending on how things went.
Yeah.
Basically, and how things wound up timing out.
I'm now having that moment. You know, we talk about that after the experience thing. Have we talked about? I think we have. I think we've mentioned it casually, but I don't know if we've really explored the strange amnesia that strikes after a show, a podcast, like the fact that and it's not related to, you know, how many beers we've had, how sober you are, or whatever.
Sometimes.
A contributing factor.
Yes. When there are beers involved, that could certainly do it. But we have reproduced it in a controlled setting.
Correct.
About it.
Correct. Yeah. And it's still like you're so in the moment, trying to figure out the next line, trying to figure out the next joke, that you have a vague sense of like, maybe I'll remember two or three jokes that I thought was funny in the moment. But then meanwhile, when the memes, the echoes come back to you, you're like, I have no memory of what is anybody talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, Night Attack specifically, and I think part of it is our back and forth is very unique because not a lot of people do, like, I don't know how many other people are like a straight comedy team that was born and lived their entire lives on Skype.
Which is a very different thing.
Right?
Like, I harbor a quiet jealousy. It's like being born short, right? Like it's like I'll never be able to jump as high as those other basketball players, because I'm short. Likewise, I listen to, you know, Ice Cream Social, and it's like they're always in the same room. They always have eye contact. They practice this fast building of everything. Like, we just had to develop a different style of conversation. We were the kids that didn't have access to a real basketball hoop. So we, you know, that's why we learned to play with this belt loop and an old man holding it open. Is that we learned a style of comedy, in which case each one of us is...
So wait, is the old man Skype?
I don't know. It's really kind of broke apart. All of a sudden I realized...
The belt loop is the internet and the old man is Skype. And he's constantly telling one of us to shut up when we're
like,
in the middle
of
talking.
Let your brother play. Go. But I mean, like, you can tell stylistically from the nature of the way 90% of all our interactions have been, we have to do this kind of CB radio version of comedy.
Yeah. And it's always hard to remember that at a certain point, because I think, A, it just creates a different kind of energy, and I'm very proud of the energy that we've created. But man, it's so, it really does make me want to run my head against the wall whenever, like, we're in the same room and it's like, oh wow, wait, no, this is
what if it was like this all the time?
This is easy and fun.
Well, and that's the weird part, is if you had asked me 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 year ago, 10 minutes ago, 5 seconds ago.
Call now. You get the comedy team. You get the Skype. You get the old man, and you get the belt loop.
No, but my point is, I am
dialing.
I am perpetually convinced that technologically, there's no reason there can't be a full duplex thing. I mean, they do this at all the NPR system affiliates. You know, they all have ISDN lines.
Yeah,
they're not doing their interviews in person. They're doing it over ISDN with full duplex. But man, that Skype ducking, I can't believe nothing has come along to crush Skype yet.
I mean, this is, I don't know if this just is going to get too real and it's just going to be people bitching about the old man and the belt loop, but like,
one time he hit me with the belt loop. It was really awful. I was like, Skype daddy, stop.
All of a sudden Skype daddy showed up and he didn't look like himself. I think he'd been drinking. He called it an update, but it didn't seem like it improved him.
A red fire behind his eyes and his mustache was dripping with some kind of black viscous fluid. I said, Daddy Skype, is this okay? And he said, you know, I almost married your mother. And I said, Daddy Skype, why are you doing this? He's like, come here, sit on my lap.
So the black viscous liquid is like...
motor oil. Turns out he was drinking motor oil. He's got a real problem, Daddy Skype.
Turns out Daddy Skype is run on motor oil. all right. So I want to thank you one more time.
Said it brought him closer to God.
Sorry.
He lives in the engines, you know. You want to see him? The fire. The fire, Brian. One day you'll be a master of fire. Not me. Not your old man, Skype. One day you're going to fire.
He laid down and died and just ascends to heaven. Brian becomes the man he is today. So yeah, thank you again for doing that. That was really, really awesome. And, you know, it is something that I think is a great live representation of what we can do that is not Night Attack, you know, because Night Attack is, it's amazing. It's super fun. I love doing it live because it's always a great time with that audience. And man, I'll tell you, I don't know. Did you listen to the recording
of the jury show?
Of both of them.
Yeah, I made it like halfway through the 2-hour rock block. But I enjoyed it very much.
That crowd was just, it was the perfect audio crowd. Well, and, like, it just sounded like Folsom Prison. Like, it was just an awesome, loud, yelling, screaming kind of crowd.
Well, and I was so surprised at how many of them had never seen her stuff before. I keep forgetting that we're not playing to an audience who already has bought in on what we do.
No. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, at Nerdtacular, it's certainly a lot of people that are like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I know Justin from TMS.
He seems like a pleasant lad. I met his daddy Skype once.
Well, he had his face down into my engine. You
know? He seemed a little distant, distracted.
He looked
prone
up and
to
said,
updates.
You know, I almost married your mother once. All right, hey, do you want to do some of the weird news stories here?
Yeah, yeah. See, this is the kind of thing that is always on the table for a Night Attack bit, but we would always have to dress it up like, okay, but then we get to punch each other if you ever use the letter R.
Wait, where are we going with that?
just that, like, we're just straight up visiting awesome stories of the weird.
Oh, yeah.
But if this was Night Attack, we would insist on cardboard cutout armor and dressing as gladiators.
God. Yeah, no.
And then, you know.
There is no idea that we can't overcomplicate to the point of complete obsolescence.
Call in now with a Photoshop poster of this story, or we'll kill this elf.
There is a new book out that I am shocked you didn't tell me about. And I'm going to try and find the name of it.
It's the Bible. How could you have God's word and have never shared it with me? Shame on you, Brushwood.
This has all been a long con to proselytize the internet. Man, and now I can't remember it. But basically, it's all about Google searches and how the different dichotomies of...
Is it A Billion Wicked Thoughts?
No.
Okay.
It's something, you lie to me, or lies we tell ourselves or something like that.
Okay.
But basically, it takes opinion polls and then matches them up against Google searches.
Yeah.
To show how much...
Everybody lies?
That might be it.
Big data, new data.
That's it. Everybody lies. Internet,
yeah.
And so what they do...
Oh, I'm gonna buy this one right this second.
Is it shows a lot of... you know, there's some correlative data of where... You know, there is elements, pockets of racism just based on searches for racist jokes and stuff like that, where you would not think so. And one of the biggest things that they have in there is that based on Pornhub searches, do you know what the most searched for Pornhub search in India is?
Sissy Hypno.
Not Sissy Hypno. Deep cut. Go get the album. What was that? Was that on 3?
That was on 3, yeah.
Night Attack 3. Too old to talk. Breastfeeding.
Oh.
They're really
for sexual...
On Pornhub.
Wow.
Top Pornhub searches is in India is breastfeeding. And yet, based on opinion polls, nobody will admit that anybody is into that at all.
So, you know, psychologists have redesigned some of their surveys factoring in the fact that people don't want to, like, they can't even bring themselves to, in an anonymous survey, click on the thing and admit that they like or whatever. So instead, what they'll do is they'll randomize. Here's 10 sexual activities. How many of them would you like? And then they do different versions. Some of them, like, let's say butt stuff is yeah, in half of them, but not the other. But they're able to take the statistically significant difference between the two and be like, okay, nobody wants to say they like butt stuff, but they clearly, you know, the numbers add up, right? We have looked at the entire supply.
Yeah.
And in fact, they'll ask the same person different versions. Like you'll see five different, you know, how many of this list do you like? How many of these lists do you like? And then they'll cancel out and be like, okay, there's one continuous thread here. Not even you have to know what you just told us.
Yeah.
Person, you just gave us numbers.
So the other thing that I remember listening to an interview with this guy was that the biggest searches in America, what do you think completes the phrase, is my husband?
Secretly gay?
Bingo.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest for husband. What about is my wife?
Cheating on me.
Crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought for sure cheating on.
No. Apparently crazy is the number one. So here we go. Pornhub has now released the most searched for terms on their site. North Korea.
Oh. So I thought everybody in North Korea. I assume they're using VPNs, but I guess straight up from North Korea, you could just head on over.
Some people are getting around it. They're being real looky-loos on IP addresses that can be traced back.
See, this is the kind of propaganda warfare I can get behind. be like, see this box? We'll open this box. It's got all your top searches.
Well, I think my favorite thing, or like North Korean negotiation, I forget when it was. It has to be over 10 years ago. But there was some big a trade agreement or some, like, getting them to the table to talk about nuclear disarmament or whatever. And they wound up pushing them over the edge by cutting off their supply of American luxury goods.
Oh, I believe that.
That it's like, all right, then no iPods. And they're like, all right, maybe we don't be hasty.
I totally believe all that. That's a matter of I don't know, hitting them where it counts. Sorry, I just realized that it's now been 20 minutes and I have no idea what my daughter is doing downstairs. I'm going to see if she's alive.
Okay, good. Well, then while you're doing that, go ahead and take a guess for the most searched for term on Pornhub.
From North Korea.
From North Korea. Brian will be down there. We will see. What if he's able to get any of the top three here? The number one. Oh wait, here we go. He's back.
Here we go.
All right, so here we go. Let's go. So,
this is my first guess.
Top. We're gonna play a Korean jerk off family feud. All right, Brian. Top five answers on the board. What are North Koreans yanking their Pyongyang to?
Let me tell you, first of all, real big fan, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
A million jerking off North Koreans were asked the following. What do you want to see? I'm going to say Chinese. Good answer. Chinese.
Show me Chinese. Number one answer.
Oh!
All right, I'll tell you what. Keep going.
Okay, all right.
Keep going. All right, now we have four more, and that technically is two of them that I'm combining into one just because it's a different spelling of it. So
it's okay, got it.
So there we go. Chinese off the board. By the way, Far and Away has probably about 30% more than its closest follow.
Wow. And this is all the usual, or are many usual suspects on there as well? Like, should I, wait, this isn't specially curated just to be the surprising parts?
This is just most searched for terms. So this is what they are searching for.
baguettes. Food. healthy teeth. Dental care.
How to spice gruel. Oh, my God. What if you... Dude, what if Pornhub was the secret radio-free North Korea?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Should we start that? Should that be our contribution to freedom?
Should we be uploading videos in North Korea to Pornhub?
We have a bit of a limited tool set
except
here.
We're only just plugging our shows. It's just like, well, listen, if you guys are already watching the internet, have you considered Night Attack and the Jerry Show?
Dennis Rodman doesn't have a sex tape, does he?
Oh. If not, then why not? I mean, you got to figure.
I mean, it's not like it's beneath him.
No, no.
Yeah. But I'm not going to go for that. I you know what? I'm going to do a safe one. I'm just going to say naked. Naked. Good, Jay. Good answer.
No.
Good answer.
Come on. Keep following with where you were before.
Okay. All right. Cause, yeah. All right. So I'm thinking of the fetishization that somebody in an oppressive regime would be feeling. Oh, BDSM?
You want to know what? That's off the top five, but I'll give you public humiliation.
Okay. All right.
Here are the top five. Mongolian.
Oh, so they are all racist.
They're all
I should have kept going. Japanese.
Yep, Japanese.
Korean. Korean. God. Yep.
One of them, not in the Asian. This is in the top 20. There is one non-Asian country that has been searched for that made the top. I'm not going to count Indonesian.
I mean, they spend so much time hating America. That's got to give them a big hard on. I'm going to say America.
No.
No?
Sweden.
Oh, Swedish. Of course.
Swedish. But here's the big one.
You know, the Swedes, they're very
white. There is one that is not. It is Japanese, but it is a specific Japanese thing.
Oh, is it bukkake?
No.
Listed in there. I just offended a bunch of Japanese. Like, that's not a Japanese thing. It sounds Japanese to your Western ears.
It's Japanese blank, and it is something that is known worldwide that the Japanese do differently than the rest of the world.
It's got to be either foot fetishing or massage. I'm going to say foot jobs.
Japanese game show.
Wait, is that a genre of porn?
I don't know. That's what's fascinating about it is you don't know. All right, Brian's going to Pornhub right now.
Hold on. I'm gonna,
Japanese game show.
We're live on the scene right here. Boots on the ground at Pornhub.com. Ready to describe to you, Justin Robert Young, the extraordinary new. Oh my goodness, it's very odd to be looking at pornography right now. Okay,
Brian, all right here. The blow by blow, Brian looking up pornography live on the Jury Show.
Resist temptation to get distracted. Type in Japanese game show.
So,
my God!
B Viper says there's a bunch of videos of Japanese porn game shows.
Yeah, there are. I'm seeing divider lines where ladies have half their bits on one side of a wall and half their bits on another. I'm seeing cutout things like when you go to the beach and you make it look like you put your head in there and there's muscly arms or whatever. That, but with ladies' breasts.
Okay, by the way, all right, so T2T2, one of the absolute kings of the Diamond Club, is in here right now saying having to filter porn or cable TV when moderating R/Japanese game shows was fun. So, like that's apparently a pervasive problem is porn game shows coming out of Japan.
Wow. And of course, they what I'm seeing here has that pixelization thing that weirdly appears to be like an affectation now in some other porns where there's all these 3D porn things, and to make it feel more Japanese, even though they're all 3D characters that don't actually exist, they'll pixelate the naughty bits that don't exist just to make it look more like a Japanese style.
You want to know what my biggest surprise is? Is there's like no gay stuff.
Oh, on the list?
On the list. Yeah, the most used category is Japanese, Asian, big tits, cartoon, double penetration, MILF, mature, big dick, but even that's not really necessarily a gay thing. Korean, threesome, babe, cream pie, Arab, reality teen, ebony, amateur, celebrity hentai.
Some of those, reality teen, is that, like, some of those are brand names.
Reality teen.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Although all these sound like stripper names. Reality! You are first to the stage. Teen and Ebony, get ready. Amateur and Hentai are on the side.
For the next 20 minutes, double penetrations, people. Double penetrations!
Tablet 11% device traffic, mobile 36%, and desktop 53%. So everybody in North Korea is still... still there with the bottle of off-brand Jergens.
Here, I'm going to... this is a good time as any to actually close the studio door.
Oh, yeah. Probably a good call on that one. All right. Let's go ahead and find another story here. Does any of that surprise you? North Korea is obviously a very fascinating example because it is this extraordinarily closed-off society. So it becomes a curiosity... beyond the horrors of that totalitarian regime, but just as a society apart from the rest of the world, right?
I'll tell you what surprises me is, number one, in my lifetime, how much attitudes about pornography have changed and how much people are willing to say about what they're thinking and what lives in their heart of hearts as long as it feels like nobody's looking them in the eyes while they say it. And in so many ways, that the reality of the United States in the early 1980s is the current reality of a lot of the folks living in North Korea right now, except for the fact that there exists this like time travel portal to another world. Like imagine in the 1980s where it's like still as quiet and don't speak and this, that. But then also there's just this little tear in the fabric of time. You can peek through and see whatever you want.
I'm going to read this headline. You tell me Florida or not. All right.
Ready.
Burglar drinks whiskey, eats muffins, falls asleep naked. I can read to you some of the story.
That's Tennessee. It's Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not just saying not Florida, but
you're calling your shot.
Yeah, it's Tennessee.
Ironically, it is not.
It's Kentucky, isn't
it? But you will know where this is.
All right, keep going. Try me on.
All right. 40-year-old Oshkosh man is in the Outagamie County Jail after a homeowner discovered a stranger had broken in and was sleeping naked in the bed. According to WBAY-TV, blank police were called to the 200 block of South Memorial Drive on Saturday for a report of a naked man sleeping in the victim's bed. Police also said the man, later identified as Brandley Braxton, had drank the homeowner's whiskey and had eaten his muffins.
I mean, Oshkosh is in Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, do I need to know the city?
You will know the city.
Because
it is famous in your profession.
Okay, so this has to be Appleton, Wisconsin.
Bingo!
Home of Harry Houdini, somebody keeping the legacy alive.
There we go.
Like a magician in the night, invading your bed and making your bourbon disappear.
Just spell my name right. How great would that be if you're just like, what has been the biggest like shit show magician?
Oh,
like out of control public.
Oh, public destroyed. I mean, it's tough because there are
plenty in magic that, you know, like, oh, okay, he drinks too much. He's at Magic Live. He's burned some bridges. He hasn't paid people back. Yada, yada, yada. Right.
Right. Right.
But has there been the bad boy?
Like actual bad boy.
Like, yeah, because all the bad boy magicians, quote unquote, are actually like the nicest, most put together people, right?
I don't know. I think Chris Angel might be that actual thing. He's not renowned for his ability to get along with people. He does often inappropriately overstate his importance and pick fights.
I guess he might be the closest. Right? Yeah, I mean, but I'm thinking more like actor, like. Pop for DUI or some like viral video of them.
I mean, this gets
like
dangerously.
This is a bad topic. I'm going to move on to this topic.
But see, here's specifically why is because the only way, because if we were all magicians and we knew all these, there's gossipy stories that you could share that are really interesting of, you know, many people going through a lot of different adventures. And hell, I'll put yours truly on that list as well. But to an audience who won't know who we're talking about, we are now defining, like, let me introduce you to a new person that I'm going to define by this one story about them. And that seems like dangerous territory.
Yeah. All right, here. I got this one. This was what I referred to on Twitter last weekend as the Godzilla versus Mothra of our modern age. And it was playing out on Twitter.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, do go on.
Conservative, firebrand, author, mouthpiece, Twitter haver.
Oh, I know what this is.
Ann Coulter.
Yep.
Got very, very upset with Delta Airlines over the weekend because she was shuffled out of her assigned extra legroom seat. She did not handle it well. She lit up Delta repeatedly to her voluminous Twitter following. She took a picture of the lady that took her seat, which is probably not understood to be appropriate. But yet, airlines in general also have a very, very low public opinion. So now the question is, who do you root for in a battle between the oftentimes, and this theoretically, even Delta admits, this was one of those bad elements of airline policy where you paid for a thing, you were shuffled out of it. It wasn't like she was pulled out for acting inappropriate. She acted inappropriately afterwards.
Sure.
But this was something that people have yelled at and railed against airlines for specifically recently about how they've handled their onboard policies.
Well, and if this is a seat that she wanted for the extra legroom, I mean, Ann Coulter is legitimately 11 feet tall, right?
I think, yeah, she's super tall.
Yeah, so it's like I'm almost, my relatability, my ability to relate to somebody who has physical demands kind of makes me want to take Ann Coulter's side on this one.
Well, here, let's go ahead and read, this is
But I'm sure once I hear what she actually said, I'll be disabused of that sympathy.
This is the BBC. Again, listen, like you don't have to root, it's Godzilla versus Mothra. Like, the point of having Godzilla versus Mothra is that you're rooting for carnage. You're not really rooting for, like, oh, I hope Mothra gets him this time, you know? Here we go. Delta Airlines has responded to the derogatory tirade that the conservative author Ann Coulter directed at them throughout the weekend. This is a BBC article. The right-wing pundit's ire began after she was moved from her pre-booked seat on a flight from New York to Florida. After landing on Saturday, she began to rant to her 1.6 million Twitter followers, eventually comparing Delta to fascists. Delta expects, this is Delta's spokesperson, Delta expects mutual civility throughout the entire travel experience. We are sorry that a customer did not receive the seat she reserved and paid for. More importantly, we are disappointed that the customer has chosen to publicly attack our employees and other customers by posting derogatory and slanderous comments and photos in social media.
That's pretty weak. That's
technically
weak bait there.
I think technically it's libel because it's written.
Yeah, but also, I mean, is it factually untrue? Did she say a bunch of untruths?
It
is untrue that the lady did not actually have dachshunds for legs, but I don't know that.
Here's one of the tweets that that Coulter let fly on Twitter at Delta, she made but the period, so it was period at Delta employee questionnaire. What is your ideal job? Prison guard? Animal herder, Stasi policeman, all of the above, hired.
I mean, that's clearly some variation of comedy that of outrageousness that, I don't know, it was an attempt at a joke, right?
Here's where things, she was
oh, no. Heated. Okay, but I don't think she actually believes that's their hiring. She's not, you know, Fox News alert. I've got the uncovered documents of how they hire for
Delta. I mean, listen, number one, you're talking to a guy who once got so pissed off at US Air that I kept retweeting what looked to be comments from @Hitler saying, you know, when US Air first approached me to be their spokesperson,
oh my God.
I thought twice. But then I took a closer look and realized how much we had in common.
I mean, that's what I'm saying is like regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, I'm going to say that her ability to abuse or bully bullpit, is that the word bullpit?
No, the bully pulpit.
No, but I want to be in a bullpit, like just there with bulls around you. Yeah. They're like, oh, I was thinking of ball pits. The bully ball pit.
I feel like the bullpit would be like, you know, a abandoned Kid Rock album.
Welcome to the bullpen.
I'm going to be a senator soon.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. Don't worry. You're going to be on politics tomorrow. So we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Then.
All right.
So this is what Delta hit her back with on Twitter. At Ann Coulter. We are sorry that you did not receive your preferred seat that you paid for and will refund you your $30. Continued, making sure that is not in any way looked to be the last word. Additionally, your insults about our other customers and employees are unacceptable and unnecessary.
Do you think Delta has the... are they in a position to high road a customer who they just dicked over like that? Like that.
Here's what I wanted to talk to you about with this, is that we are both people who have flown for business quite a bit, right? You, would it be safe to say that you, in general, have more of a sensitivity to airport rage than I do, or?
What do you mean by sensitivity? Like ability to...
I feel like you've gotten into more fights at airports than I have.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I guess that's all I'm saying.
I wonder if this is a side
more
effect.
With TSA than Southwest, which is your preferred carrier.
Yeah. In general, very rarely do I have trouble with Southwest. But again, it's like you fly some whatever flavor, whether it's Coke or Pepsi. At some point, it begins to feel more like family and you forgive a lot of the foibles. And when stuff's weird and goes bad, it's like you're like, well, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. You know, that kind of you give that leeway to a airline that you've flown for a long time and that you know their policies.
Oh, by the way, this was Ann Coulter's response to the $30 thing. $30? It cost me $10,000 of my time to pre-select the seat I wanted, investigate the type of plane, and go back periodically to review seat options.
Okay. You're not helping your case there, Ann. What are you doing, right? That's to respond, like, she had the moral high ground. Like, please don't high road me. That's not your place. That's all she had to say. But instead, she was like, I make a lot of money, and I'm a very important person.
But to be fair, this makes Ann Coulter money. This process.
Yeah, she is.
Her fighting with Delta. Again, there are only few precious organizations or entities that she can get into a fight with that in any way resembles a 50-50 split on, like, hey, you know, Ann Coulter's got a point.
Yeah.
Like, if you are not in Ann Coulter's camp and you are not buying Ann Coulter's book and you don't think that Ann Coulter is smart now,
right?
She's not there to proselytize you. She's there to inflame you. So
I mean,
she hates buy her book and hate come to her shows and hate do this.
She's
right?
an outrage merchant.
Exactly.
Right.
So she's going to be picking on Delta. She's going to fly Delta forever and just, you know, be like Stone Cold Steve Austin and just start pouring beer on people.
It's pretty, you know, and in that regard, you kind of don't want, like, if she was obviously 100% in the right, this would cease to be a news story very, very quickly. We wouldn't be talking about it. We're like, oh, you know, I guess that's kind of the thing. But it's like that perfect uncanny valley of like, okay, well, you're kind of right, but you're not wrong, Walter. You're an asshole.
Did I tell you my new way to explain airport rage?
This is one with the tattoo on the butt.
Yeah, I pull down and I say, "Here's part one. Turn the page for part two."
And then you fart, and you're like, "That's the TSA."
Oops. The reason why people hate airports is the same reason why people hate prisons, because you are outside of those walls, you have a tremendous amount of freedom. Inside of those walls, you have very little.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
you are being pushed around. You have to, under great penalty, you cannot do things that you would otherwise do.
Right.
And, you know, we can have reasonable arguments of what should and shouldn't happen. But in general, it's really hard, specifically if you have a, you know, if you're an important person, to all of a sudden have some random person be like, no, you can't do that. Sorry, computer says so.
Right. Well, and also you have so many different cops and they're all in different uniforms and you have no idea. You just have to obey all of them. Like,
yes.
Literally anybody who whether it's the person at, you know, the Salt Lake barbecue telling you you can't get that with extra barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
To the person at the agent, the booth. Ugh.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I don't know. If you were. So you're not flying as much anymore.
I a little bit more than I was, but yeah, I would say like there was a time that it was I don't know, 6 to 7 round trip flights per month. Now it's 2-ish. I still I keep trying to get on the TSA pre, and the website is so Byzantine, so awful. The appointments are so far in the future, and the it's so agonizing. It takes $10,000 of my time to make an appointment. But Bonnie was saying that over by the local grocery store, there's a place that popped up that enough people want this. And enough people are annoyed with the governmental nature of getting on TSA pre or global entry that there's now an emerging middleman market.
A 1-hour photo stop for TSA
pre. It's like, just give us a lot more money than they're going to charge and we'll do all the BS for you.
Expedite it.
Yeah.
You got to do global entry though.
I do. I got to do all that stuff.
You just got to, it sucks. Listen, it was by only the grace of God that I was able to get mine.
Did I tell you about the time that I tweeted about it? I don't know if you saw it, but somebody, TSA dude bluffed me. Did I tell you about this?
Wait, no.
We were, and Bryce saw this.
Okay, yeah, no, tell this story.
Yeah, so we're getting, look, for religious reasons, call it, right? For some nonsensical thing, I always opt out. And when people ask, I'm like, because if we're going to have a highly invasive, unconstitutional search, it should be awkward.
It is
for
a
both
protest.
Of us.
It is, yes, a social protest.
It is a quiet, tiny protest that I will keep on doing forever. this time I was like, hey, I'd like to opt out. And this officer, he just shakes his head. He was like, no opt-outs today. And then I was like, I'm sorry? And he was like, yeah, we're not doing opt-outs today. And then continues to shout out at people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think that's a thing. And then he was like, yeah, put your stuff on the belt, get on through. And then I was like, I'm going to double check that because I'm almost certain that's not true. And he sees Google open on my phone, immediately changes his tune. You're like, come on, man, I'm joking with you. Look at this guy's Googling this shit. And then, yeah.
Do you think that, do they get performance bonus based on how many people they can get through or as fast as they can get it through? Or
I don't know. I don't know that they, I don't know anything. All I know is that it's built like a casino. You got the pit boss, you got the croupiers, you got the eye in the sky. Only you don't know what their goal is. I mean, their goal is to find guns or whatever, but to take away our pen knives and make sure we can't
drink used
water.
To be a nation of pen knives, and now we have none.
But like, and here's the other thing:
the only way you stop a bad guy with a pen knife
is only bad if pen knives are outlawed. Only outlaws will have pen knives. I told Bonnie this and she was like, yeah, they did the same thing to me when we went to Canada. I was like, wait, what? And they're like, don't you remember? I was like, oh my God, they did. They said, no opt outs for you because, and she's like, no, I'm seriously opting out. And then they're like, haha, I was just kidding. And they're like, okay. And they had to shut down the line while they patted down Bonnie. And of course she got the fastest opt out, like bleep, bloop, bloop, you're fine. Go.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. But the weird part was I took this to Twitter.
Was this at Austin TSA?
No, this was at Baltimore. Headed out of Baltimore. And I tweeted it out. And sure enough, TSA reached out to me. And they're all like, hey, who was the officer that did it? And I was like, well, I don't want to give it out publicly, but hit me up on email and I'll tell you. And they did. And I gave all the details and told the whole story. I said it happened at this time at this exact checkpoint with this officer, and of course recorded.
You knew everything.
You better believe. Like, that's over the line, man. You don't just not fulfill your civic obligation and then try to play it off of like, I'm just joking.
He's like I don't normally narc, but when I do, it's through the TSA.
Stay knocking padded on heaven's door. That's what I'm doing.
Stay patted down, my friends.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Hey, I got an email for you, and then we'll wrap it up.
Mm.
This one comes in from Nicholas. He says, it is Renaissance Fair season. I would love any good stories or tips for getting the most out of going to fairs.
Oh, my God. Number one, spend a good week not showering so you won't notice everyone else not showering. Step two.
By the way, for the audio listeners, for whatever reason, this has put a real beat in Brian's shoulders as he is now beat-bopping through the answer to this question.
Number two, have Molly on you at all times. Number three, get a chainmail G-string. either be wearing it or just have it ready. I don't know.
Have you been? What is your Renaissance Fair history?
Well, I always check out the street performers. You know, Penn and Teller got the start of the Ren Fairs, yep. And there's always jugglers and I love the street performing show, the management of storytelling and audiences and all that stuff. But man, there's this whole culture. There's this whole life.
Is it safe to say that might be one of the few kind of totally underground, untalked about carny lifestyles?
Yeah, that fills the niche. It is the somewhat sanitized because they're all getting busy at night. The show ends, and the only thing that changed is that half of them stop pretending to do their fake British accents.
Yes.
Then they continue the show, complete with sexy parties and filthy, nasty. Oh, they're dirty, carny. Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean, it's a weird scene.
I mean, let me put it this way. It is a truly extraordinary scene.
That's when you get closer to it, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's not for the average people. It's just turkey legs.
You're going to have a great time. Yeah, you're going to eat turkey legs. You're going to go see the joust if they got the joust. And then they, that's the other thing is to me, like watching the joust and stuff, like they're just straight up for reals jousting.
Oh, yeah.
And they're straight up really trying to knock each other off their horse.
No, that's for real. That is absolutely no joke. And what I would say is... You're right, Brian. The entertainment is always better than you think it's going to be.
Oh yeah,
like, and there are some really seasoned acts, usually juggling or comedy kind of based.
As a veteran of Dragon Con, I think it's safe to say that Dragon Con, the cosplay scene, really Renaissance Fair is just the first iteration of the cosplay scene, right?
Yeah.
And cosplay scene, any cosplay scene, is the best people watching you're ever going to get.
Oh hell,
it is. Once you put a mask on. It is extraordinary the way people act in really interesting, very revealing ways. Not necessarily inappropriate, but it's just like there's a freedom to be more authentic that you don't see in polite society.
Yeah. And oddly enough, you just have to pretend that you're in some fictitious British town. And
yeah.
It just brings it out of people.
I guess so. The fact that everybody is building a fantasy, you literally spend all day fantasizing. And I think that brings a lot of... exciting, sensual delights out of you that you didn't know were latent there.
Absolutely. All right,
anyway,
guys.
Bring Molly.
Bring Molly. Not your friend from work.
But... bring her, too. bring my dolly. Double Molly.
Bring my dolly.
Daddy Skype, where are you? Stop. Oh, you're back on the motor oil again. Oh, Daddy Skype, no.
Brian, is there anything that you would like to get out there?
If on the off chance nobody's heard of it, I do a show called The Modern Rogue, which we're real proud of. Check
Absolutely.
That out. And I'm Night Attack.
Absolutely. This is Justin Robert Young. Follow me at Justin R. Young on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us as always. Until next time, this is your old pal reminding you to please don't. Die! Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.